You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Now, let's talk about this a little bit, because you had a lot of encounters with these astronauts who in your opinion, purportedly walked on the moon. What's the general reaction when you talk to them? Obviously, we know, let's not get into the Buzz Aldrin thing yet. I want to talk about that a little more in depth. But aside from the infamous Aldrin incident, we'll call it, what's been the reaction of the various astronauts you've talked to when presented with the moon hoax? And like you said, when you speak to them off the record and warn them, you know, hey, you better be careful. What's the overall reaction from them?
Well, there's a great clip of like a preview or teaser of Astronauts Gone Wild at moonmovie.com. It's like a 2-minute clip. You can view it on the internet. Mm-hmm. And they get angry. When I'm on camera, you know, when I confront them on camera, they just get angry.
Yeah.
They just turn white. Some of them turn red. They start sweating. They start cursing. They get angry. They become violent. Not only was I hit, I was kicked. I was threatened to be killed by the CIA.
Wow.
All these things are on tape. I mean, you saw Astronauts Gone Wild, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, these guys get very angry. Now, off the record, they're a lot more personable about it and have given me pretty strong indications that they didn't go. And, you know, they know that I know. But to them, I'm like a mosquito in the Taj Mahal, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, my film inspired the Fox special, Conspiracy Theory, Did We Land on the Moon? We showed a funny thing happened on the way to the moon to Fox. They loved it. They also said, we can't air it. Our legal department will not let us air it. Can you imagine a film too controversial for Fox? And they said, you know, you're too one-sided. We want to present both sides. And I'm like, we've heard their side for 35 years.
Yeah.
You know, give us 35 years, then they deserve equal time. And the fact is, we have this footage that proves they never left Earth's orbit. So we already know they didn't go. But they said they want to interview me and do this. Well, the show was so successful, it aired a second time. So successful, it aired a third time. Well, at the time we released The Funny Thing Happened, or right before it, the national average on whether the moon landings were real in people's mind was still only 10% of the people doubted it. But since my film came out in the Fox special, that has gone to 15%. And now that I've made this film and confronted the astronauts, now other filmmakers are doing it too. And, you know, you got to a little bit feel for these guys. I mean, they were hoping, I'm sure, to go to the grave and for the truth to come out afterwards.
Yeah.
And now, you know, that dike's got some cracks in it and there's some water leaking while they're still alive. That's got to be a very unpleasant feeling for them. Another thing, it's not like there was just one guy who went to the moon once on one mission. That would be a lot better if the guy was alive, you know. But there's, you know, 15, 20 of them still around. And if any individual confesses, he's really confessing for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if one guy's moon mission was fake, you know, the likelihood is that they were all fake.
Yeah.
And so they've got to have a pact, you know, that we just won't do it. You know, too bad there's not another guy like Irwin, or too bad I didn't, you know, get started on this sooner and I would have had a chance to talk to him. But
now,
who knows what'll happen.
Now, you say that off the record they give you sort of a – they sort of suggest that you might be on the right direction or something. Can you elaborate on that a little more, as much as you can say?
I don't want to go into that, but what I can say is what we do have on camera, and particularly in the Buzz Aldrin interview, the first interview, where he believes we're interviewing him about some book he allegedly wrote, and we're there to say, well, no, we want to talk about the moon landings. And they're like, well, that's old news. And I said, well, it's not, because we found this footage, and I show him the newly discovered footage of him faking a shot. He was the one operating the camera during this fake shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he says on camera, and this makes you some famous person, what an ego you must have to want to propel your career like this. Well, how can I be famous if I'm wrong? How can my career be propelled if I'm wrong? You know, he virtually admitted it right there. And then when he realized that, he said, you can't show this tape to anybody or I'll sue you. You know, he realized he said some things during that interview that were, you know, pretty much saying he didn't go to the moon, in other words. And he said, like, you know, you can't, I don't give you permission to show this interview. I'm like, you know, too late. We didn't hold a gun to your head.
Yeah.
You know, this is news, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Now let's talk about the infamous, since we're on the subject of Buzz Aldrin, let's talk about the infamous Buzz Aldrin incident, if you will. A lot of people have seen it. It's one of the most famous pieces of footage as far as esoteric film go out there. Set the stage for us. Tell us your perspective on what went down that fateful day when you and Buzz Aldrin ran into each other.
Well, there was a Japanese production company who contacted me and brought me over to Japan a couple of times to do a book about me and the idea that the moon landings were fake, to appear on a couple of talk shows, which I did, and TV shows there. And they wanted to pursue it a little bit. So they got Buzz Aldrin to do an interview in Beverly Hills at some famous hotel, the Wilshire or something or other. I don't know what it is. Anyway, up in the penthouse, they rented it out, and they had a camera crew. And then I brought my camera crew, and I was to be the surprise guest who came in at the very end to confront him whether or not he went to the moon or not.
Mm-hmm.
After my initial interview with him where he, you know, largely suggested I was right that we didn't go, it was after that that I came up with the idea, well, why don't I just ask these guys to swear on the Bible? And that was kind of how Astronauts Gone Wild got created.
Yeah.
I just want to say, first of all, that I don't want people to get this wrong. Saying we didn't go to the moon, you know, in my mind, is not unpatriotic. It is patriotic. You know, when the government does something fraudulent to this degree, you know, I know everyone wants to believe we went to the moon, and I know it would be a much better world and country if we did. You know, my eyes are open to the fact that we didn't. And, you know, I think America has a lot of wonderful qualities, and the government does a lot of good things that other governments don't even come close to doing. So I want to say that, you know, to me and the people involved in this project, we're patriots. We just want the government to be better, mm-hmm. and, to improve and to take responsibility for their actions. Also, I want to do the same thing about this encounter with Buzz. You know, it took me almost 2 years afterwards to realize, you know, that, you know, I think the punch was my fault. What happened, you know, while these things are planned to a certain degree, I mean, the interview is planned and it's planned for me to, you know, to challenge him whether he went to the moon or not.
Yeah.
Any words that come out of my mouth or his mouth, you know, they're just improv made up on the spot. And, you know, the heat got kind of turned up and he got angry and we have two camera crews running around chasing after him and I'm putting the Bible in his face and saying, why don't you swear in the Bible? And he won't do it. You know, he will not swear in the Bible that he walked on the moon. And it just kind of irritated me that this guy just got paid $2,000 an hour, as all of these astronauts. We paid each astronaut like $2,000 for an hour interview to talk about something they didn't do. And I said, that makes you a thief. You just stole $2,000, right? And you're a liar, and you're a coward for not wanting to come forward and tell the truth. Well, so I called him a liar, a coward, and a thief. Now, I didn't wake up that morning and say, gosh, I can't wait to call Buzz Aldrin a liar, a coward, and a thief. But the heat just got turned up, you know, and he was getting riled up, and I was getting riled up, and I said it. And it upset him, and he punched me. You know, I didn't take any particular offense to the punch, to be quite honest. I mean, he had a good punch. He's still in great shape. He's quick. You know, I didn't see it coming and knocked me back a couple of feet. You know, his explanation as to what was happening, you know, to the media was completely wrong and lying. I mean, I didn't have him up against the corner. He had me up against the corner, you know?
Yeah.
And trying to defend, you know, why he did. I mean, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. At the same time, you know, I'm not without sin or without fault in my own life. So, am I a liar and a coward and a thief too sometimes? Well, yeah. Which means, you know, what did Jesus say? Ye without sin cast the first stone. And I was casting a stone at him. And I was also doing it, you know, in a public place, in front of people and in front of news cameras. I don't think that was respectful. Even though the guy didn't go to the moon, and even though I, you know, wish that the guy would come forward and come clean, that still doesn't mean I have the right to be disrespectful to him. And I think I was disrespectful to him. You know, sad to say, it took me 2 years to realize that. But at the same time, you know, it's the truth. I think it was my fault that that event happened. I think it was wrong for me to call him a liar, a coward, and a thief. And had I not done that, he wouldn't have punched me.
Yeah.
So just want to go on the record and say that. And I've written him a letter of apology. And I don't think any less of him. I probably think more of him. You know, brothers, you know, wrestle around each other, you know?
Yeah.
We're in the struggle together. He's got his own struggle and his own heart. I mean, if he were the only man who walked on the moon, I bet he would come forward and tell the truth. But he's not. There's all these other people who are alive, whose lives he would ruin also. You know, maybe they don't want their lives ruined. I mean, one of these guys became a United States senator. Other people are CEOs, you know, getting paid huge salaries, not for any ability, but because they're the flagship CEO, a guy who walked on the moon, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be ruining all, and maybe ruining the country. I mean, maybe there's that pressure, too. Then he'd be saying, oh, my God, the country is this corrupt, and... You know, it's kind of weird. I mean, I've met news directors at NBC who I show this footage to, and they say, you know what? We didn't go to the moon, but I won't air it because I'm afraid this will cause a civil war. And I'm like, you know, you got to let the chips fall where they may. I don't think it's going to cause a civil war. We have too much structure in place for that to happen.
Yeah.
But what it would cause is reform in the government. But I've had people in the news say, you're right, we didn't go, and I can't air it with a clear conscience because it would cause such turmoil.
Now, I want to ask you to clear up one thing about the Buzz Aldrin footage, and that's just sort of a minor detail. But who's that woman that sort of gets in the way in the middle of the shot there?
That is his stepdaughter. That is his wife's daughter.
Oh, okay.
And she was there trying to block the camera from being on and standing in front of the camera. And my cameraman, I didn't know what he was doing. I was like, put it on your shoulder. Don't be shy. He's like, he wanted to pretend like he wasn't shooting, so he kind of had it down by his waist, holding it, pointing it up. And she was, you know, trying to block the shot. If you kind of see, you know, the punch just, you know, perfect timing and ends up being on camera because the camera's blocked right beforehand and the camera's blocked right afterwards. But there's that punch, right? Perfectly crisscrossed between the two people blocking the camera. And, you know, I felt like sending, you know, Buzz a box of cigars saying, thank you so much for punching me. They've shown it on Leno and Letterman and Good Morning America. We've got such great free publicity. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, exactly.
But I fear for him because people got to, you know, who know that we didn't go to the moon or keeping an eye on him wonder, you know, if this guy can't control himself. If he can't control his arm, maybe he can't control his lips.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, just to sort of tie a bow here on the Buzz Aldrin story, talk about the media sensation that happened. Like you just said, it was on The Tonight Show and The Today Show and all these other shows. Talk about that media sensation that happened after the footage came out, because all of a sudden you were like all over the place and everybody was talking about this footage. And what was that like to be in the spotlight there for that amazing situation?
Well, I have a background doing theater, so I've been on stage probably 1,000 times since I was 14 years old. So being in front of a camera or whatever, whether I'm not nervous half the time and the other half I'm nervous and faking like I'm not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was exciting to me about it was that it propelled our cause forward. See, this is a cause. Again, you know, you can look at it as a political cause in that our government, you know, did fake the moon landings. And George Orwell said, whoever controls the past controls the future. And it's like if someone addicted to gambling, you know, if they keep getting away with it or keep robbing banks or keep doing whatever, they're going to do the same or worse. And that's why the truth needs to come out. But I think overall it tells something about humanity, that humanity is in such despair that when we set a goal to go to the moon and we couldn't do it, we were so juvenile that we pretended to go and we murdered people and embezzled billions of dollars. And to this day, somebody's putting a lot of money into these websites to defend these so obvious moon landings. I mean, it's like going down to their grave holding on to the lie,
yeah.
You know? It just you know, when I realized, when it dawned on me, when I saw the secret footage that of them faking being halfway to the moon, I mean, it just broke my heart. It was like, oh my God, this is really true. This is mankind. You know, we know about all the crimes and weird, you know, things going on in the world. And to add on top of that, that mankind was just so fearful or juvenile or whatever that we would fake the moon landings. It's just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you expect there to be ever a whistleblower situation where one of the astronauts will speak out? Maybe the last one alive will be the one that has to bear the responsibility of being the one to say something?
Well, we live in an exciting time because that hour is started now, you know,
yeah.
And it'll conclude in only about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know, there's probably a 10% chance that that's going to happen. Of course, when I started the film, I was just doing it under the theory it might be true. And yeah. I thought, we'll never know, not in my lifetime, whether he went to the moon or not. I was wrong, thankfully. In this case, you know, I'm thinking right now there's about a 10% chance that one of the astronauts will come forward to clear his conscience. You know, that's better than a no percent chance, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I think eventually, maybe, you know, 50 years, 100 years, the government's going to change or no one's going to care. But it's still dangerous because what they've done is they've misled people. They've misled intelligent people. And if let's just say NASA is sincere about wanting to, quote, return to the moon, if they think it was so easy to play golf on the moon, you know, in the 60s and early 70s, then they're going to kill themselves trying to reach the moon now. Yeah. I mean, people are going to die if they try to go to the moon. You know, a good friend of mine once said, you can be sincere, but be sincerely wrong. And they didn't want NASA to know. They, you know, very few people at NASA knew, just a handful of people knew aside from the astronauts. And then the people in the, you know, in the government installation who were already sworn to secrecy for who knows what else.
Yeah.
You know, so the moon landings could have been done with as little as 200 or less people knowing.
Not
the hundreds of thousands. Very few.
And of that small group of people, have there been any prominent whistleblowers to the moon hoax?
Bill Casing, you know, he worked, you know, on the space program for 6.5 years. He was the most prominent one. There are other filmmakers who have come forward and said, yeah, I mean, these pictures were not taken in sunlight, which means they're not on the moon. Other intellectuals have come forward and said, yeah, the moon landings are fake. But a lot, it would be like a religious person coming forward and saying, well, you know, Jesus did sin, and, you know, he had three wives and whatever. You know what I mean? I don't think that's true,
yeah.
But it would be kind of like that. If you're a professor at a university and you come forward and say the moon landings are fake, you know, you might as well start looking for a job.
Yeah. Okay, now, and sort of pulling back a little bit and looking at the big picture here, You say like this moon hoax, it's sort of like a movement. I've noticed throughout my time studying all the various esoteric fields that the moon hoax is sort of like the bastard child of esoterica, where, you know, it really gets no respect. It's sort of downplayed and crapped on, really, by a lot of people in the esoteric movement in general. First of all, why do you think this is, and how does that make you feel as one of the big names in the moon hoax movement to be a part of a field that's really put upon so much?
Well, you know, there was a line from George Burns in the movie God, mm-hmm. when, you know, no one believed him, that he actually spoke with God, and he said, you know, Copernicus and all this was under house arrest for saying that the Earth was the third planet out instead of the sun being the third body out with the Earth at the center. And he said, you're in good company. You know, to me, it seems odd to believe in UFOs. Not that there isn't possibly life out there, but
yeah.
We're so far apart from one another. And that I just find the likelihood of being able to travel those distances being really, really hard to believe. You know, show me one little green man and I'll believe. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I personally don't believe in UFOs. You know, I think there statistically probably is life out there, and maybe there have been visits, but I don't know. I haven't seen any, you know, show me one.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, we didn't go to the moon. It's very simple. It's an illusion. You know, Copperfield does not levitate elephants. You know, it's impossible
yeah.
to levitate an elephant. And people have to realize that the space shuttle can only go 200 miles above the Earth with today's 21st century technology. How could we possibly have gone 250,000 miles away almost 4 decades ago? You know, even before digital watches.
Yeah.
It just doesn't add up. People want to believe it, just like a child wants to believe in Santa Claus. And it's a big, I remember when I was told there was no Santa Claus, I went up to bed and I wept myself to sleep. And I think people have that in their hearts, you know, they maybe even doubt that the moon landings are real, but they don't want to believe it because it will crush them to realize this is the type of government that we're under.
Yeah, yeah. And what about, have you gotten any much support from people in the UFO field or, you know, various other fields in the esoteric psychic type field or anything like that where, you know, they they come out and come to bat for the moon hoax theory?
Well, I don't know much about the UFO community. I know a little bit about it because I have a couple of friends in it. From what I understand, the vast majority of them believe that the moon landings are real and that the reason why the pictures are fake is because there's alien, you know, bases there, or some secret crew was sent to the moon and this was the fake crew. It's all a government snow job, simply because we didn't go to the moon, and anything that helps people believe that we did go to the moon, whether it's aliens or whatever, the government likes that. They want people to believe we went to the moon because the simple fact is we did not. We do not have the capability. If we can't go to the moon today, which we obviously cannot, how can we go 40 years ago? You just got to want to know and want to love the truth more than you want to be right.
Yeah. And now you talked a little bit about the Fox special. What do you think about the mainstream media coverage of the moon hoax theory in general? Are you happy with how it's all played out? Do you think it could be a little fairer? Like you said that you thought that, you know, that they had 35 years to get their story out and you should have a chance to put yours out unencumbered. Is that mostly your bone of contention with the mainstream media?
Well, yeah, I think the way they've handled it is extremely unfair. The best, you know, broadcast program on the subject was the Fox special, you know, which was inspired by my film, and they used parts of it and interviewed me in a site. You know, that was a fair shake. That was a fair representation of the argument. Aside from that, no one wants to touch it. It sounds nutty. It sounds too hard to believe, too conspiratorial, too whatever. The New York Times has done a story on it, and of course all these, you know, stations that I mentioned, they've done it. But the reason why they do it, it's more like, isn't it interesting that there's a group of people who believe we didn't go to the moon, that it was done in a TV studio? Isn't that interesting? When you ask them to really look at it seriously, they won't do it. I remember, you know, when the New York Times article came out and they did a 4-page story on me in the film, and I thought they did a pretty fair job representing both sides of the story. The Washington Post called me up and said, hey, you know, we saw the New York Times. Hey, we want to do a story on you too.
Nice.
So I sent a guy, you know, the writer out there, copy of the film, and said, well, what do you think? Well, he says, well, that's not important. I said, well, it is important. Don't you realize that your paper dethroned, you know, a corrupt president? I mean, that was because of you guys.
Yeah.
It's because of your paper that Nixon got booted out of office. And I said, well, what about that window shot footage, the footage of them faking being halfway to the moon? What did you think of that? You know what he said?
What?
I can't explain it.
Huh.
And I said, you're right. Don't you see? That's the story. That you have footage from the moon landing that you cannot explain why it looks the way that it does. You know, in the Fox special, there are two things that stood out to me if I tried to be objective, you know, looking at it. One was when the maker of the still camera that was taken to the moon, when the guy had the sun behind him and yet the front of him was lit up like he had a, you know, a light on him.
Yeah.
He said, well, why does it look that way? He looked down at his hands and said, well, I can't explain it. And then me, you know, when I say I would bet my life that we did not go to the moon. I've done 8 years of research going on 10, and I bet my life on it. There's no question that we went to the moon or not. You got to understand, I went from being the biggest fan to thinking possibly we didn't go to realizing, you know, we just didn't go. That's just the sad truth.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one of the big arguments for people who are proponents, actually, this kind of goes both ways on both sides of the argument. Everyone sort of says, well, why don't they take a picture of the stuff that was left behind by the Apollo missions that are reportedly still on the moon, you know, the flag and all the various junk and stuff that was left there. Have there been attempts to take pictures of that stuff? And, well, first start with that. Have there been attempts to take pictures of that stuff?
Well, there's a lot of people who think you can point a telescope at the moon and see artifacts or footprints or the flag. That's folklore. It's not true. According to NASA, there's no Earth-based telescope powerful enough to see any man-made objects if there are any on the moon. Also, according to NASA, the Hubble telescope is too powerful to resolve focusing to the moon. Through secondhand information, I found someone who did work on the Hubble and said it could definitely take pictures of the moon and see whether stuff was there or not, but they just never bothered doing it because they know it's really there. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah.
It's like the leading expert of the radiation belt that surrounds the Earth was my age, 4 years old, when they went to the moon. And he says, well, I know the radiation is not dangerous because they went through it six times to the moon and back. That's how I know it's not dangerous. And I'm like, you know, we're kind of stuck in this catch-22.
Yeah.
The other proof they say is the moon rocks. Well, you know, they had this goal that they were desperate to make to reach the moon before the end of the 1960s, and yet von Braun, you know, the leader of the whole thing, had time to vacation down in Antarctica to retrieve lunar meteorites, and that's where the moon rocks came from. And their only other third point or proof that they say they went to the moon is that the laser reflectors that are allegedly on the moon, and you can bounce, you know, a laser. Well, you can bounce a laser off the moon with the reflector or not. And the fact is the Soviet Union put laser reflectors on the moon 2 years before Apollo 11 with an unmanned probe. However, Japan several years ago did send a probe to the moon that did have the capability of taking close enough pictures of the moon's surface to see whether or not there were any artifacts there. They had five different type of cameras, you know, video, film, infrared, whatever.
Yeah.
As soon as it achieved lunar orbit, mysteriously all five cameras simultaneously malfunctioned.
Oh,
and, you know, the Japanese can't make a good camera. Then the space agency, I spoke with the director of the European Space Agency for 45 minutes. And he was actually open-minded to the idea that we didn't go to the moon. And I said, well, this latest probe that you guys sent to the moon, can it take the pictures? He said, no, it doesn't have that sharp of resolution. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Either it does and they're lying because the U.S. government is twisting their arm,
yeah.
You know, or they're just, you know, sending inferior equipment to the moon. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Now, do you think that technology will advance to the point here on Earth that at some point we'll be able to look at the moon and settle this once and for all? And as a subset to that question, if that day came and there was a picture of the stuff left behind on the moon, would you change your opinion on the entire scenario?
Well, the reason why people think we went to the moon is because of false pictures, mm-hmm. false TV pictures, and false still pictures. That's why people think we went to the moon when we didn't go. The thing is, they can make more false pictures, you know. So no, that wouldn't be proof that we went to the moon if they suddenly had a telescope that was more powerful and you saw something there on the moon. They could have just faked that picture, like all the other pictures that they faked.
All right, you got to ask the questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To get back to the first part of that question, do you think there'll be an advancement enough in human technology here on Earth that we'll be able to settle the question once and for all? And sort of by the way you answered the second part, suggest that there really would be only one potential answer here that we'd be able to find.
Well, you know, if the world doesn't end in the near future, technology eventually will progress enough to where some country like Iran or Iraq or Cuba or somebody is going to be able to see that there's nothing there on the moon, and they'll make a fuss over it. But that might be 50, 100 years from now. So who knows? I mean, the great convenient thing for the government is like, well, prove we didn't go. I mean, how can we prove they went? How can we prove they didn't go? Who can go to the moon except the government? You know, and it's
yeah.
a quarter million miles away. There's no independent verification. And we have one of the greatest events in human history and no independent press coverage whatsoever. Whatever we got was a TV picture controlled by the government, and if it went black at their discretion or, you know, turned on or off or whatever, it was completely controlled by the government.
Yeah.
I mean, no one ever thought, you know, you're letting the kid be in charge of the candy store here, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've been in the moon hoax research field for a long time. Where does the field need to go from here to further advance the cause? Is this the sort of situation where it's such an isolated incident that it happened so long ago that we're sort of running out of time? There's not too many various areas we can look into, kind of like the JFK assassination and Roswell situation where, you know, we're a race with the Undertaker here to get any information out of firsthand witnesses. Is there more that people can do who are in the field to find out and try and get more answers about the moon hoax?
Well, the hope that we have is that one of the astronauts will want to come forward and set the record straight, or that some other country is going to have the technology and the willpower to prove that we didn't go. The U.S. government is so powerful, you know, we can talk Iran into, you know, disassembling their nuclear power plants if we want, just by bribing them, giving them several billion dollars, print it off and send it to them. I mean, Japan, you would think, but then we've probably got Japan over a barrel in some way that, mm-hmm. you know, that we don't know about. It's going to be tough. I would say one of the astronauts coming forward is our best shot, or waiting another 50-100 years for it to be so far in the past that the government doesn't care anymore. I don't know.
Do you think if they advance technologically enough to actually land on the moon and do it for real, do you think that they would backtrack that and admit that it was all phony? Or do you think that they would just sort of press on with the story?
Well, I don't think they'll be able to go to the moon in 2020. I think it's extremely, extremely difficult to go to the moon. The idea that they could do something like that the first time and not kill anybody is really preposterous. If they truly, they're either going to do one of two things. They're either going to sincerely try to go to the moon, you know, around 2020 or a little bit after. And if they do that, you know, they're going to kill a lot of people trying. I mean, they're going to kill the first crew, the second crew, the third crew, the fourth crew, until they figure that out. Even Von Braun himself said, even if you could go to the moon and land on the moon, you'd have to immediately go into a cave. Because there would be a 50% chance of a catastrophic failure every 24 hours from a micrometeorite. I mean, the moon has no atmosphere whatsoever. And all those, you know, chicken pox marks on the moon are, you know, meteorites.
Yeah.
The tiniest little grain of sand traveling at 40,000 miles an hour will go through you, through your spacesuit, and pressurize the entire spacecraft.
Yeah.
I don't even know that you could go to the moon, you know, and walk around with no atmosphere, with micrometeorites. I don't even know that that's possible.
Now, let's talk about your four films here. Run through them and, you know, tell us about the films. I watched A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon last night. I saw Astronauts Gone Wild over the weekend. Also, you have Apollo 11 Monkey Business and Apollo 11 Post-Flight Press Conference. I can't put over the post-flight press conference enough. That is a fantastic piece of footage. Even if you're someone who's listening to this and you're like, that moon hoax is a bunch of bunk and I don't believe any of it, blah, 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 definitely check out the Apollo 11 post-flight press conference, irregardless of how you stand on it, because the footage is awesome and it's historical in nature, and it really it's a wealth of information just on that. But also, let's talk about the four films. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. That's, of course, your baby, correct?
Yeah, these again are at moonmovie.com.
Mm-hmm.
These four films cost nearly $1 million to produce.
Wow.
And you can get all four of them in a box set for $15 each or $60 for all four.
Nice.
A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon was the one that took 5 years, the one that contains the newly discovered footage of the fake photography, them faking a shot of being halfway to the moon and showing how they did it. You can see the outtake, so that it's definitely a fake shot. That explains, you know, the history of the Cold War, the goal by Kennedy, and it's, you know, my favorite and best film. Astronauts Gone Wild is a confrontation of me with nine Apollo astronauts. Most of them don't give interviews, so we track them down at public places and simply ask them to swear on the Bible. You can see me ask Neil Armstrong to swear on the Bible. I offer him $5,000 cash to go to charity, to go to Hawaii, whatever. He won't take $1,000 a second to put his hand on the Bible and swear to God he walked on them, and he won't do it. He starts shaking like a leaf. They're afraid that this could come back as a video deposition, and they'd be guilty of perjury. The third film, Post-Flight Press Conference, is their one and only press conference that the three of them gave together. And we've color-corrected it, transferred it from 16mm film, synchronized the two cameras together, and you just see their expressions for an hour and a half as they allegedly talk about what it was like to walk on the moon, and they just, you know, look like they're at a funeral for an hour and a half. And then Monkey Business is the newly discovered footage in its entirety. We show about 5 minutes to 10 minutes of it, and A Funny Thing Happened.
Yeah.
And this is it in its entirety. So you can see, you know, them doing this fake shot 30 times over and over again. We also have footage in it allegedly out the window of the command module as it orbits the Earth. As it orbits the moon at 4,000 miles an hour. So you see out the window the moon going by, and then it stops. Kind of adjusts horizontally and vertically just a little bit more and then picks back up at 4,000 miles an hour again, which, of course, it'd be impossible to stop on a dime going 4,000 miles an hour and then to suddenly accelerate back to 4,000 miles an hour. They were using a model, and we got an outtake of it showing this particular imperfection, revealing that, in fact, it's a model of lunar orbit. Then we have a shot of them walking on the moon with the original slate in front of it. The slate has the date on it. It's dated 5 days before they left. So we have a shot of them walking on the moon dated 5 days before they left by NASA. It's like, well, could they have gotten the date wrong? Gee, I think NASA knows what day of the week it is and what time of day it is. They kind of, you know, put it on everything.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd make a mistake like that. And all that is in monkey business. And then most recently, we bought at a state auction from one of the widows of the Apollo 1 fire, the congressional report of the Apollo 1 fire, which is the crew that would have been the first crew to walk on the moon, and how they died in this alleged accident on the launch pad right after, you know, their commander became very critical of NASA, enough to hang a lemon on the door of the command module indicating that the equipment was a lemon. And he held an impromptu press conference, which got him in hot water. And, you know, shortly thereafter, he was burned alive. And we have the congressional report that's on data DVD that indicates that they were poisoned by cyanide gas prior to the fire, that the fire was set to get rid of the evidence of the homicide. And all that's at moonmovie.com. It's taken, you know, 10 years almost to put all this stuff together. It cost us $1 million. We're nowhere near to breaking even yet. And you can get all four films for $59.
Awesome. Awesome. And we've gone over the whole moon hoax theory here. Is there anything else you want to throw into the pile? Any more evidence you want to throw in there that people should consider and think about?
Yeah, it actually came up in the news recently, about 4 weeks ago. It was brought to my attention, and I didn't even know this, with all the years of research I've done, that the way that most of the public was convinced that the moon landings were real was because of the television images, which, of course, were black and white and kind of grainy.
Yeah.
Often wondered, you know, they're trying to boast this great technological achievement of being on the moon, and yet they can't even have a color video camera, because a color video camera back then was higher resolution. I mean, if Gilligan's Island is good enough to be promoted from black and white to color in 1967, I would think, gee, maybe the moon landing in color, that would be nice.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it in color because it revealed too much detail. The signal allegedly came from the moon. In fact, it was bounced off the moon from Earth. It was picked up at a tracking station in Australia. Mm-hmm. Then that was transmitted to NASA. So already we're at like third generation. And then in NASA, that image was projected like a projection TV. And you remember how good projection TVs were like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Imagine how good they were 40 years ago.
Oh, boy.
And then that was then filmed with a television camera, and that signal was sent out to the world. The networks complained because they weren't even allowed to be given a live feed from Australia. They were forced to project, shoot it off of a projection screen. It was as if they were deliberately trying to degrade the signal, to fuzz up the pictures. Well, the fact is they had never faked going to the moon before. So why reveal too much detail of a fake scene, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they deliberately made a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of the image. Well, and came out 4 weeks ago, that there are these slow scan television images, which are 2-inch data tape, which are virtually digital videotape from 1969. And these images are 4 times the resolution that has ever before been seen of any TV image of any moon landing. And they have never before been seen by the human eye. Well, these are stored in the National Archives with the Declaration of Independence and probably George Washington's wooden teeth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, a filmmaker found out that they were disassembling deliberately the only machine that could ever possibly read these television images that are, again, 4 times the quality than have ever before been seen from any television picture from any moon mission. And get this, every single tape from every single moon mission vanished from the National Archives 4 weeks ago.
Wow.
Gee, you know. Where was that Declaration of Independence? Did you have it? I thought, did you have it? Where did I put that? No. And I've calculated that this material, you know, probably physically weighed about a ton.
Oh, wow.
So they misplaced a ton of material.
Literally.
And they hermetically sealed. I'm sure that's pretty good security at the National Archives. And suddenly, 1 ton of material, every single videotape from every single moon mission, has now disappeared. The one that's 4 times the quality, you see, they would probably reveal fake backdrops. And they had to make, you know, lesser two evil choices. They could either release those to the world and people would see, you know, that's a fake backdrop, or they could just have them disappear, which doesn't really help their cause either. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, after my film came out in the Fox special, it went up to 15% of the American public doubted the authenticity of the moon landings. But there had to be another 15% who were kind of on the fence. And when something like this happens, I mean, it made national news.
Yeah.
The government lost these tapes. Now, if the government is so incompetent that they can't keep a ton of material in the National Archives without misplacing them, then how could they possibly be competent enough to send men to the moon back in 1969? Or they deliberately disappeared. And the only reason why they would deliberately disappear would be if we didn't go to the moon and they revealed too much detail. So either way, it proves we didn't go to the moon.
There you go. There you go. What's next on the plate for Bart C. Brell? What do you have in the pipeline? What's in the works?
Well, we're thinking about interviewing some cosmonauts and former KGB people.
Huh.
There are apparently one or more cosmonauts who have finally come on the record and said, you know, the Americans did not go to the moon. They may be boat rockers, and they may have been told by their government to keep their mouth shut because of an agreement, you know, the higher-ups have with each other. But they're finally want to speak their mind and say, hey, you know, we just didn't go. I mean, if they couldn't go, if they launched the first satellite, animal, man, woman, if they did first, spent 500 hours in space for every 100 hours we spent, and never even sent a man to orbit the moon, you know, it just really starts to not make sense.
Yeah. Did that kind of brings up a small question here, actually. Let's throw this one in also. Did the Russians, after the Americans landed on the moon, why did the Russians just abandon going altogether? Was it like once we did, then they didn't want to do it anymore type of situation? Or?
Well, I think the whole point was to be first.
Yeah.
That was it, to be first. And if they couldn't be first, then why bother trying? At the same time, it certainly would have historic benefit. Nevertheless, it would also have a lot of scientific benefit. So I would think, you know, they would try to up us one way, like maybe stay there longer, build a moon base there or something like that. That's a great question, because why didn't they? I mean, they never did. They never sent a man even into lunar orbit. Why? Why has Japan never done it? I mean, Japan has had video cell phones around for 7 years, and we still don't have two-way video cell phones here in America. And Japan has had them for 7 years.
Wow.
Japan is really advanced technologically. And, you know, they can send a probe to the moon that could take pictures, but, of course, the camera malfunctions. So maybe we're at a nice critical period here in history, Tim, where something is going to hit the fan. You know, I just pray that the truth does come out. I think it would be for the benefit of mankind, certainly the benefit of our country. It's kind of like having gangrene on your leg and pretending like you don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, the government admitting and it coming out that we didn't go to the moon, you know, that's heartache. At the same time, you know, that's like losing a leg. But it's better to lose the leg and save the body than for the body to go. And if our government keeps going down this road of faking the moon landings and other stuff like that, you know, the citizens are in for a world of trouble.
Absolutely. That's the truth. All right. We talked about the movies here. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. Astronauts Gone Wild, Apollo 11 Monkey Business, and Apollo 11 Post-Flight Press Conference. You can find those at moonmovie.com. It's a very compelling story. It's very interesting. Like I said, going into this, you know, I wasn't a big moon hoax believer, but, you know, there's always that crack of doubt in my mind, and it's always great to hear from somebody who's on top of the field and who can throw a lot of great information at me that I hadn't even heard before. So hats off to you for that. Hopefully you've reached some people here tonight that'll look into the thing. Check out the movies at moonmovie.com. You know, Bart said it himself. Check it out. Do your own research. You know, don't just listen to Bart and say, you know, all right, it's a moon hoax. You know, do your own research. Check it out. Bart, thanks for being on the show.
All righty. Well, thanks, Tim.
That does it for this week's edition of Banal of America Audio. Big thanks to Bart Sabrell for coming on the show and sharing his insights with us on the moon hoax theory. For more information on Bart Sabrell and his films, check out www.moonmovie.com. Moving right along now, it's time for a portion of the show we like to call Banal of America Audio Listener Feedback. And this week's letter was featured in the Banal Report a few weeks back, but I wanted to flesh it out a little bit because it was addressed to Banal of America Audio, and it seemed like one of the perfect letters for listener feedback. So let's dig right into this one. It comes from Lauren in Rhode Island, and here's what Lauren had to say. Hi there. I'm a college student in Rhode Island who has a secret fascination with all things esoteric. I really enjoy the program you put on, and I find them very informative, but down-to-earth as well. I think there is a good combination of skepticism and belief that is hard to find on the internet. Anyway, just thought I'd let you know how awesome your show is, and to keep up the great work, signed, Lauren in Rhode Island. Well, thank you very much for writing, Lauren. I appreciate the feedback. One of the reasons why I wanted to feature this on the segment here is because it's really awesome to have listeners from that younger demographic. As I've pointed out on the show a lot of times, I'm from that young generation, and I'm always interested in finding more people from the young generation who are interested in the esoteric, even if it is a secret fascination with the esoteric. Hopefully, Lauren, you won't abandon the esoteric, given its pithy standing in mainstream culture. It's tough to open up to people and tell them that you're down with the esoteric, and it's very difficult at times, and I appreciate that you want to keep the whole thing kind of secretive. But there's a lot of ways to explore the esoteric and still maintain your own personal anonymity. There's various places on the internet where you can go and chat and post and exchange ideas on the esoteric. And if you ever find that you're ready to open up and ditch that secrecy, there's always local groups in the area that you can meet and discuss the esoteric with. Just, you know, do some web searching. I'm sure you'll be able to find something. But definitely stick around with the esoteric. It's only going to get more fascinating from here. And those of us who are part of the young generation are, I think, going to see quite a show unfold. So thank you once again for writing, Lauren. I really appreciate it. If you would like to have your email featured on Banal of America Audio listener feedback, simply write to boaaudio@hotmail.com, boaaudio, all one word, @hotmail.com, or go to banalofamerica.com and click contact in the top right-hand corner, and that will put you on the road to having your email read here on Banal of America Audio listener feedback. Wrapping up the show now, I want to thank Leslie, Chiron, R. Lee, Joe V., and Ralph Molesworth of BanalofAmerica.com for your help and support with the audio series and the website. All of them are great folks. They've just done a tremendous job in helping me put together this show, put together the website, and continually putting out top-notch reading material for the visitors of BanalofAmerica.com. BanalofAmerica.com, make it a part of your everyday search for esoteric news and opinion. If you're a longtime Banal of America audio listener or an appreciative newcomer and you want to help support the audio series and the website, click the PayPal button at BanalofAmerica.com. Tis the holiday season. Now's the time to make a donation. Help us pay the bills, offset the costs, and pay down some of the expenses that come along with a show like this. I pay for them out of pocket with help from Banal of America audio listeners. Are you going to be one of those listeners that helps? That's up to you. Here's how you can be one. Go to banalofamerica.com, click the PayPal button, make a donation. No donation is too small. Every little bit helps, and all of them go towards helping keep Banal of America audio up and running and available for our ever-growing listenership. Next week on Banal of America Audio, it is the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference 4 special. You're going to be hearing on-site interviews from the big festivities. Richard Dolan, Nick Redfern, Paul Shatskin, Michael Sala, Matthew Toomey. I talked to them at the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference. We're going to have those on-site interviews for you next week on Banal of America Audio. It's definitely different from our normal stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. It's pretty interesting. We cover a ton of different topics. And also, I will be discussing the conference. I'm going to be going over my report a little bit and also sharing some new stories from the conference that I haven't had a chance to tell yet. That's next week. Banal of America Audio's UFO Crash Retrieval Conference special. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. You'll be hearing from me next week with more Banal of America Audio. Until then, this is Tim Banal, signing off.